Hello and welcome to Crazy Talk Podcast. This is Angela Campagna from Face to Face Therapy. I'm here today with one of my co-hosts, Bradley.
Hello.
Who's also a writer.
I've been known to pick up a pen a few times.
So you can tell that's going to be our topic. And we have a super special guest today, Kim McPherson, who is a published 13 works. Yes. I'm learning the lingo. I'm the new writer in the group, and Kim has really been helping me a lot. So I thought it would be great for listeners to learn about this. Kim, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So when I started, I started out as a romance author. I'm a non-traditional college student, went to school late in life. And it was around 2012, 2013, the whole 50 Shades of Grey came out. Ooh. And did not read that book right away. That was not what I was after. But all my friends and my coworkers and all that stuff, because I worked full time and went to school, they were having book clubs and get togethers over that book, and I could not participate. And so when I graduated, I was like, I'm going to read a romance novel. I'm determined. What is the buzz about? So when I got ready to graduate, my husband said, what do you want for graduation? I said, I want a Kindle and an Amazon gift card. And that's exactly what I got. And so I actually did not read 50 Shades of Grey right away. I read Sylvia Day's Crossfire series. And that was 5 books, which they weren't all out. But about 6 months into it, I was like, I could do this. I want to write a romance novel. So I was just inspired by reading it, started writing romance novels. However, didn't know what the heck I was doing. So made every mistake in the book. I didn't know anything about editing. I didn't know anything about self-publishing. I didn't know anything about marketing. So for the past 6 years, I went back and started trying to learn how to do this. And I used to complain to authors, why is there not a playbook? Because if you researched it, it's just bits and pieces. You'll find a little bit over here and a little bit over here. But there was no playbook. So I made the playbook. And about 2 years ago, word got around that I knew what I was doing. And some people started reaching out to me to help them. And so from there, I created the business, which I launched it a little over a year ago.
Bestseller bound.
And so I'm an author coach. And so now I help authors. I consider myself the author GPS, and I walk them from start to finish, writing, publishing, promoting, and launching.
That has got to be so much fun.
Oh,
so I mean, what started your wanting to get kicked off on your initial project? Did you read 50 Shades and you're like, this is a Tuesday for us, for my husband and I, or, you know, what clicked that you're like, hey, I can write and I like this?
So I was reading, it was actually Crossfire series that I was reading by Sylvia Day, and I've got to meet her twice, y'all.
So oh, wow. Really cool.
Yeah, she's huge. Yeah. She's a huge author. The ideas, like, from that story, it's racy, but it's a good story. It's about two people, survivors of trauma. Okay. And how they have a relationship. What it was it's like, as I started reading it, ideas came to write another contemporary romance. And so I would just kind of take notes, like, why is this all popping in my head all of a sudden? And then it was just like, it kept coming and it kept coming. And 6 months in, I was like, I need to write this down. I need, like, quit taking notes and just take off. But I loved what I was reading. And I think the love of reading the romance is what inspired me to write. And I love it. It's very therapeutic.
So, I mean, it's not something that you went to school for journalism. Said, hey, I've read enough of these things that I think I could probably write one.
Yeah. And I have taken, like, craft classes and technical writing. And I don't claim to be the best writer out there, and by no means. And I think I can always improve. But I don't believe in that craft. You need to be educated in craft and technical writing to be a good writer. I think you write from your voice. Your voice trumps technical, in my opinion, every time, because there's passion in your voice and you can express that in your words. And if you don't do that and you focus on the craft and the technical, the content will suffer, because I get stressed out. I'll be perfectly honest with you. But if I can take the editing brain out of it and just write, much better cohesive.
Well, and writing is so much like any other form of artwork, where you don't know it's good until someone else comes to you and says, hey, this is really good.
Yes.
So did you have that experience where, you know, maybe one of your teachers or something read something that you wrote and they were like, you should do this more?
No. And when I was in high school, I did write rhythmic poetry, and that was the only ever positive feedback I got. When I did my first book that I released, actually pulled it back, so I'm reworking it, immediately had someone who read it email me and said, oh my gosh, I love this book.
Oh wow,
this is great.
How did that feel?
I was like, oh yeah. And then reviews started coming. So So really just from people reading it and giving me their feedback, they loved it. But the other thing is when you look at a review for a book, 9 times out of 10, they're not critiquing your craft and technical writing. They're not going to come in and say, well, I found a mistake. I've read a book that was written by an author that Random House published, and I found a mistake. There's a typo in it. So it happens.
Yeah.
They're talking about the characters, the content. That's what they focus on. And if you can connect with the reader that way, it doesn't matter if you've goofed up here or goofed up, you know, in part of the story with some technical stuff.
That's what I love about your style.
Yes.
Is because I was very insecure about some of my writing ideas. And I'm like you, like I get focused on the technical part and trying to reword it. And if somebody sees a mistake I made, like I get very insecure about that. But the way you have a passion for it that, like, you're glowing. Like, can't you see her glowing? Yeah, she's so passionate about it. And so when I brought my idea to you.
Yeah, she gets a speeding ticket on the way to work.
So when I met with you, you were so passionate. It made me feel passionate. And then you talked me through writing through the emotions and feelings, which is so therapeutic.
Yes.
Which has been an amazing experience for me.
Well, yeah, and I think with anything, whether you want to do it to write a book or you want to journal or blog or you want to do it for therapy, you're getting something out of your brain. There's something in your brain that you need to get out on paper, and it's a form of expression. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's a form of stress relief, because especially if it's like, whether it's something exciting or something sad or traumatic, you can't do anything with it while it's sitting here on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So you have to get it out. And that's the easiest way. And you don't have to write it. You can talk it and transcribe it. So
that's right. I have learned so many little tricks from her about that.
Well, you've raised a very excellent point in which, like we discussed, someone may not know that they're good at it. And someone may not know, you know, that, you know, painting is cathartic for people. You know, all of this helps people, you know, preserve their mental health. You know, is there a simple exercise you would recommend for someone who might need to just use writing to express some things? Just if they fold up the piece of paper and just put it in their pocket or throw it away, can you recommend a little exercise maybe that someone can do just to?
Yeah. So if you have an idea and say it's on a sticky note, if you could set it down on a notebook, or you can, if you'd rather voice record it, sprint for 20 minutes, write down anything and everything you know about that. And if you want to write something and you have no clue what you want to write, write down, the KU Writing Center tells you to do this. Write down, I don't know what I want to write. I don't know what, because eventually you keep writing that sentence, it's going to change and it's going to change and it's going to change. And a great method that I teach people is, and I think we've talked about it, the sticky note method.
Yes.
Where you take 3 basic ideas that are connected and you just subtopic those. Keep going. And the more sticky notes you have, the more content you have.
On sticky note number 1, I write what?
So like if you're going to do, the easiest way I know to explain it, if you're going to do a cookbook. So you have, maybe you have apps, appetizers, main courses, and desserts.
Okay.
There's your top 3.
Okay.
And then just start, what recipe would you like to do? Or maybe you're teaching cooking techniques. Maybe you're teaching baking. Maybe you're teaching grilling. Maybe you're teaching how to cook on a stove. Then what would you do underneath those?
So Kim taught me this, and I just started it. So because I had all these things, like my brain's on fire, and it was hard to like pull it all together. And I tried to do like the old school outline of what they teach you in grad school or whatever. It wasn't working for me because it was breaking the creative process like Kim taught me.
Too spreadsheety.
Yes. So I just went and bought my sticky notes. I bought a board. I'm getting a different board. I don't like my board. But I started the topics. And for me, it was like certain time periods of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's another way. So if you're writing one in time periods, you just bust it out in frames and then what fits underneath each of those time frames.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
It works.
Well, and then you take, like I just said, you take one sticky note, and if you can, you sprint for it for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. There's all kinds of content, and sometimes you'll keep going.
So this is so exciting for me, mental health-wise. We know that a big piece of therapy is being able to tell your story, okay? But there's sort of like different therapists agree or disagree about this process, okay? Some people think that you have to sit down and you have to outline the whole trauma of your life. there's other modes of therapy where you don't have to do that. You don't even have to speak it, because for some people it's too difficult to even speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is another avenue of getting it out and processing it. And I love it. And you don't have to necessarily reveal it unless you want to when you get ready.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If some people aren't comfortable talking about a topic, mm-hmm. then they can talk to themselves about it through their expression and writing, whether you put it on a notebook, you put it in a file on your computer, mm-hmm. or if you feel like voice recording it, whichever way is comfortable. But that is your work, mm-hmm. and you have the control of what you want to do with it. If you want to share it, great. If not, you're still creating an outlet to get that off your chest.
Right. Yeah. It's out of your head. Get out of your head.
Yes.
I think it helps you get out of your head.
Yes.
Would you say?
Yeah, I would say so. Both. It can help you get into your head when you need to,
mm-hmm.
and help you get out of your head when you need to. So if someone's sitting at home, and I don't know, maybe their mother's always told them what a great writer they are, and they really do wonder, well, I wonder if I am good, and I would like for someone to tell me if I am or am not good. What are some things that some writers can do to get validation? I know there are contests that they could enter. Mm-hmm. Like if a writer wants to have their work judged, where's right. a good way other than to pass it out to their friends?
Right. You know? So I would first start with, first of all, I believe we all have it within us to write. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad writer, because
if you can talk, you can write.
Exactly. And the other thing, that's what editors are for. Mm-hmm. You have your work edited, they will help you learn the craft technique part. But back to your question, so a lot of the writing organizations, there's a lot of, like, we have a lot of local ones. So there's White County, which is their kind of out of Searcy. Mm-hmm. We have Arkansas Writers Group. There's actually a group for, there used to be a group for romance. I think they still get together. They're just not official. You can enter, sometimes they run contests. So you can always enter contests. If you're first starting out and you're not really sure, you can look for critique partners. And so where do you do that? So there's probably some you can reach out to online through these groups, or I would reach, if you don't really know, like you can't find something, reach out to your local high school or college. There's probably going to be writing departments, and a lot of those students would need.
Say, hey, can the 8th grade English class try out my romance?
Yeah. Well, I think I'll do college for that one. But you know, if you wanted to write a little short story, if you're writing fiction, or if you want to write a little blog, reach out to a high school or, you know, high school writing department, or you know what it is. If it's racy content, you definitely need to go to college. But reach out to that department, and they can critique it for you.
That's brilliant. I never thought of that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, do you know anything about fan fiction? Are you familiar with that?
That's where 50 Shades came from.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually Superman and Lois Lane.
No. It was Twilight.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, E.L. James wrote fan fiction, Christian and Anna, into the Twilight series fan fiction site. And they were both, I believe, vampires.
Okay.
Or one of them was.
Okay.
So she took that and turned it into a contemporary romance, 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about that was, interesting thing about Sylvia Day was her Crossfire series. These both came out about the same time. And there's some similarities in them. She had written a historical romance called Seven Years to Sin. And it was about two people back in the day suffering from trauma. She took it, reworked it again into a contemporary here and now.
Okay.
So they both took two stories from a different kind of perspective and put it into a contemporary romance novel.
So,
and they both did amazing.
Now, you said that you had a story about her, right?
Sylvia Day?
Yes.
I've met her twice. So I used to be a member of the Romance Writers Association. No longer, because they have some drama going on. That's all I'm going to say. And until they get their act together.
Now, hold on. I've got to back that up a second. Uh-huh. You said the Romance Writers Novels, or Romance Novel
of
Writers.
America.
Has drama.
Yeah, they have drama. Yeah.
Is that
not the
drama?
Kind of romance drama. You know, no, it's not what you think of.
I always joke that every association has drama, but that one kind of might
be. This one's a little extreme.
Somebody whipped the wrong person?
No, it was more of they targeted an author and tried to punish her for things, and it ended up being from a race standpoint.
Oh, okay.
So I stepped away. I'm not going to have a part of that. And so until they get their act together, which they're working towards it, then I'll consider going back to them. But they hold a conference every year. And they'll bring in authors and publishers and agents and all this stuff. And there's classes. It's It's just go, 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 go. They have a book signing on the Saturday, the last day of the conference, and all the money that from the books being purchased goes to charity for reading literacy. Mm. So she is a huge supporter of our event. I don't know if she still is now because of what's happened. Prior to this, she was a huge supporter. So she would go and donate her books, and you could go to a signing and meet her and all that. So any chance I got, I was, bam, let me go meet her.
What was it like meeting her?
I cried the first time because, like, she's massively huge. I mean, she don't write a book for less than 7 figures, I can assure you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's huge. And she had an option with Lionsgate to turn the Crossfire series into a television series.
Ooh.
But they optioned it like 3 or 4 years and she pulled it back. They never could come to an agreement, but she's still looking to do something with it. But anyway, I cried the first time. The second time I did not cry. Got to meet her, got pictures. She also taught a class and I was lucky, and it was a packed house. I was lucky to get into that class because if they get full, you know, you can't be in it. So, but I was just like, you know, I fangirled, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And there's another one who did a similar series named Meredith Wild. I have not met her. I've spoken to her. We've communicated on Instagram. She's my next bucket list author that I want to meet. She actually started a publishing house. So I'm very fascinated with her because that's a dream down the road, is to actually have a traditional publishing house.
Yeah.
Especially for authors. I want to be the ones that you get turned down by these other ones. I'll consider it.
Okay.
You know, because there's so many works that are turned down through traditional publishing houses that they self-publish and they skyrocket.
That's amazing,
that's insane.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because.
And that even puts you over the control of your own Facebook ad campaign, mm-hmm. your own. I mean, that puts so much at your fingertips that there's not so much money going through other people's hands.
Right. Yeah. Well, and with traditional publishing now, you're required to market your book. And here's the thing. It's not just about the work anymore. If you want a traditional publishing contract deal, they're probably going to strike me down for saying this, but it's true. You better have a huge following on social media or they're not interested, because it's to them, it's a guaranteed book sales and it's money. Whether they want to admit it or not, we're not stupid. We know that.
Yeah.
I've been told it more than once from agents and in the industry that, oh yeah, they're going to look at your social media following, unless it's just an awesome book. They're going to look at your social media following.
So are you eyeballing any other genres or?
Yes, actually I'm writing a self-help for authors on how to do this.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. And I've actually had interest in it.
Okay.
You know, from traditional side, it kind of fell apart when COVID hit because they shut down. A lot of them are in New York.
Oh,
so they shut down. Some people lost their jobs even. So the other thing is they really tightened the reins on publishing because you had print companies shut down also. You had bookstores shut down. So it really, they had to be very, 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 very strict on what they were looking at considering. So it kind of just went by the wayside. Now that doesn't mean if I come back next year and say, hey, I'm still working on this, I'm going to do it. But I may not go the route. I may just
do
it myself.
When you explained to me how it worked between traditional publishing and self-publishing, for me, it was all about the control.
Yes.
And
that's my issue.
I like to have control over my voice.
Yes.
And when you do lose that when you go to a publisher, they have the last edit or final say. Mm-hmm. So
or life or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary to me.
Well, and that's my thing is I don't know if I'm willing to give up. I've never really been a big fan of giving up control.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'd even consider it is because, one, I was approached about it, but two, to say I can do both, you know?
Yeah.
But if I don't do, like, I'm not going to be heartbroken if I say, okay, I'm going to self-publish it. I'd be just as happy.
Yeah.
Because I do like the control.
It seems like, you know, obviously if you were wanting to do another romance novel, you already have a following.
Yes.
But if you wanted to move to another genre, that might be when you want to do that safer route that others want, you know.
Which luckily for this route, because of Bestseller Bound, I'm already building an audience and a community.
Right.
I don't have to look at it. And like I said, I mean, my audience isn't huge by any means, but my audience is true, and there's a difference.
That's a big thing.
My audience is true.
That is a big thing with social media
followers. I didn't just have people join to be a joiner.
Yes.
Like, they are interested in what I have to say, or they're a writer.
Yes.
Like, that's the difference. So I'm fine with it not being
That's big. Something that I've learned more recently about social media followings. You can have the big numbers, but if you don't have the people who are actually going to listen and pay attention and support you, then those numbers don't really matter.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a weak following, so to speak. But you also have a podcast. Do you want to talk about that?
So I have a podcast called Bestseller Bound. And it's just basically, you know, based around what I said before, I walk you through steps on the strategies, writing, publishing, promoting, and launching. But I do have guests on there. I've had an editor on there who's fantastic, as well as I'm partnered with Eden Books, which is an online retailer, just like Amazon, but strictly romance novels. That's all she does. She was on there a couple weeks ago.
I listened to that one. That was
so
good.
She's awesome. Yeah. But she's also, we're working together. We're going to roll some stuff out next year.
So what do you offer? You offer different sort of packages, right? Do you want to tell us listeners about
that? This is the part of the show where we would really love for you to sell yourself.
Okay. I'll sell myself.
We want everybody to know all of the really cool stuff that you do.
So I do, it's funny you asked today, and we're doing this today because I have a sale starting today. I do private coaching. And it's you pick a package. You can do a month, or 3 months, 6 months, or a year. Okay. I do group coaching, and that's once a week inside of, we do it in a Facebook group. And I walk you through a process. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a handout, sometimes I'm just on a screen, like showing you how to do an Amazon ad, something like that. That's once a week. That actually starting today until December 1st is 50% off.
Oh,
that's a Black Friday special.
Oh, yeah.
Then I have a course that I launched. And the amazing thing about it is I keep adding content to it. So the course keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Luckily for anyone that buys the course, you get all that extra content. So no matter if I change it 100 times, you still get it off and there's no additional charge. Mm-hmm. Starting today till December 1st, you get $100 off if you pay in full.
Oh,
there is a payment plan though. So if you'd rather do the payment plan, I did not discount that, but if you pay in full, you get $100 off.
Okay.
So the course is designed to walk you through again, the steps, like I said, but you can do it at your own pace. There's no rush.
Okay.
You do it when you're ready. What helps is if you're just in writing stage, so if you're just writing, you can go through that stage and then get your, write your book. Then you can come back and go to publishing if you want to.
Okay.
There's no time limit on.
I like that there's different options for you depending on where you are in your life and your financial means as well.
Exactly. Well, that's one thing I wanted to make it. I wanted to be accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. So if you can't afford one thing, maybe you could afford a payment plan or you can afford to do group coaching, which is monthly and it's half off right now. So I wanted to be feasible. And then worst case scenario, if you have no money whatsoever, I have a community and it's called Bestseller Bound Community. That's completely free. I post in there every day.
So is that your
Facebook group. So I post, there's motivation.
Yeah.
We'll do engaging posts. Like, what are you working on? There's writing tips. If you have published or have a pre-sale, you get to share that on a certain day. If you have an event, a book signing, you get to share that on a certain day. We do goal setting. What have you accomplished this week?
Yeah.
So there's always something going on in that page as well.
That's awesome. I want to talk for 1 second and about the difference between, because when you're the first coach I've ever worked with. Okay. I have a therapist. I do therapy. That's something very different than coaching.
Right.
And I just want to educate listeners about that a little bit. Like, Kim is the coach that like pushes you, uses their motivation and helps you push forward. Therapy is something a little different where we can set in some of your emotions. It's a totally different thing.
Yes.
And I just want listeners to know,
I
personally have experienced both therapy and coaching. While they're very different, I find that coaching can be super helpful.
Right. Well, look at a football team. You have a coach. The coach drives the players, especially since we're in football season, to do certain things.
Right.
A therapist, to me, is someone who helps you not only emotionally, but helps you work through problems and helps you, you know, better yourself emotionally and mentally, where a coach is instructing you on how to do something. It's kind of how I look at it. So it's more instruction over here.
Yes. I can say that. What do you think, Riley? I think that's a good description.
I think so,
I like
too.
That.
No, I agree. And I think that like a coach, sometimes you have to get, you know, critical. Sometimes in that, you know, it's, you have to get your point across why this doesn't work. And sometimes that's painful for people. So, you know, you You don't need someone to sugarcoat and coddle you.
Yeah.
You need a coach.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I meet with Kim weekly and she'll say, "So what'd you do? what are you working on?" Or something.
Yeah, I mean,
"What are you working on?"
No
and
one,
I need that because I need to know that next week I'm going to see Kim and she's going to ask me, she's going to hold me accountable for some of my writing goals.
Right.
And I mean, you know, the worst coach in the world would be the one that every time you handed them something, like, "Oh, this is great. No, this is this is perfect."
Yes.
You know, you collect your money. You know, this is all perfect. You know, this is the best writing coach in the world. Your stuff is great.
Well, here's the thing. And just like she said, if you're setting a goal to write something and I'm here to walk you through and push you to do that, if you're not writing, I'm not doing my job. I mean, and so that's why I have to hold you accountable and I have to call you out on the carpet. Now, I'm not a coach, like a football coach, where I'm out here like Saban or somebody who blows their top, we've seen on television before, yelling at people. That's not my style. I'm more of a happy side. Mm-hmm. But there are expectations because if you're not writing, you have to write. The book will never get done.
Well, you have the energy.
That's why I'm the heavy coach.
Well, I mean, you have the energy, the positive energy about writing, that when I see you, I get excited about my own work. If that makes sense.
The funniest thing about writing is that there's no better example of being, you know, so close to the forest for all the trees. You know, you finish this wonderful paragraph about your main, you know, person, and the person, your writing coach says, "Well, who is this about?" Well, it's clearly about the main person. Okay, show me where you put his name in this, and you get so close to it that you know of course it's John in your mind, and it's a story about John, but you know then you don't write it's John.
Well, it's funny you mention that because that's where back to the whole editing, like, is crucial. Like, you have to edit. If you ever think about it, and if you look at social media, you'll see those things that come up, and you have to find the sentence, and it's all combobulated words, letters, and you got to find the sentence. So. And I take that analogy to say, if I write something, I'm going to read it as it should be. It may not look that way, but inside my brain, I'm reading it as the story should be, where an editor comes in and reads it as it lays. And so that's what's so important about that, because I'm my worst editor, because I read it as I think it, not read it as I see it. And a lot of people do that.
Oh, I totally do that. Even for, like, academic writing, you have to be careful with that. I definitely have a tendency to do that, to you put on paper what you're thinking, or you know what I mean. You don't
put... It's what you think, not
exactly,
what you see.
Yes, exactly.
So, from writer to writer, let's be writing snobs for just a minute.
Okay.
Like, what's the worst thing that people do? And by worst, I mean, like, annoying. Like, what's the... Like, and in their writing, like, what's consistently everyone's worst habit when it comes to writing? Don't give me something like, "Oh, they're too hard on themselves." Like, what makes you roll your eyes?
Probably when they're not objective in their writing. They're very, and I don't mean opinionated, because opinionated works in writing, but they lay out, whether it's a story written in one person from the main character, or they're doing a self-help or whatever, and they're it's all or nothing, and there's no objectivity, and there's no consideration for the other characters, other opinions, other things like that.
So it's a man writing is what you're saying.
No, I don't think so, because women did it too. But to me, it feels like it's just the train won't stop. Like, hold on a second. I feel like there needs to be some objectivity. And that's why it's great to really enhance, especially in fiction, to enhance your characters, and especially the supporting characters. They are just as important as the main characters, but people don't see it that way.
I'll never forget this. My first paper I wrote in college, and I was like, I went to college later on in life. So we were doing this creative writing, and our professor was critiquing, and we tried to pull this, but we're being creative, and we want to do it this way. And he was like, "Well, you can do it that way, but you're going to get a bad grade, and nobody's going to want to read your writing." And it just, like, clicked in my head. With that you can't just get away with that. You know what I mean?
No, and I do say this, though. It's going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. There's only one way to write your book, and that's your way.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
Amen.
But where objectivity, where if, because what it'll do, in my opinion, this is strictly my opinion, you're going to lose some structure and flow in the story if you don't have some objectivity in that story.
Okay.
Editor's going to catch it.
Okay.
So that's where it's a mistake that you can correct, and you just have to enhance your writing. That's great, But I still believe you write from, you write your way.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as expressive and passionate and fulfilling if you are not writing your way that's comfortable. Let's be honest. If we're comfortable, we're comfortable. If we're not comfortable, it's not going to be as good.
I think you show more emotion and feeling and passion, and maybe that's where...
Well, if you're stressed, it's going to affect in your work, and that's across anything.
Yeah.
Same thing. If you're focused on technical writing, I'm going to be stressed out. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I would be so envious of, like I would want to be, have your job for a day, to watch sexes, to watch fiction writing, sexes writing as each other, you know, see... A man writing, you know, women characters and women writing men characters. Like, that's what I would want to do.
I'm going to be honest with you. What's interesting, and I'm starting to see it more and more, there's more male writers coming into the romance genre, which is, and they're not like, and I write a particular type of story. They're not writing bad, and they're not writing chauvinistic, I guess is the word I'm trying to say. They're being very fair in how they represent the female and the male, or two females and two males, whatever the relationship is, they're very fair in that. And it shocks me. They're very objective, and it shocks me that more guys are coming into it. But it's one of the largest genres out there in book industry. It's the one that they cover all the
men writing. Men writing.
Romance in general. But, I mean, romance is one of the largest. I mean, it's the one that like, covers all the overhead and keeps the lights on. It's huge. I mean, that's why it's saturated.
Okay.
So, yeah, and especially since self-publishing became a thing where you can do this. You don't have to go get an agent to publish your book.
Yeah. That's awesome, Kim.
Yeah.
I've learned so much from you. I hope listeners can learn.
Keep learning.
Yes. And like I said, I'm thankful that we connected.
Oh yeah, I am too.
I gotta know. What's Angela's biggest problem?
Are you
want
me?
You
to
have
tell
to be honest.
You can tell it. I'm open.
What's Angela's biggest problem?
I'm open.
Sticking to her writing schedule.
Yeah, I would agree.
So that's one of the things I tell you. Like if you have to treat this like a business. And if you want to publish a book in a year, then you have to sit down and say, I'm going to write X number of days. I'm going to produce X number of words, and you've got to schedule it. You've got to time block it. You've got to make time to do it. Because I'm gonna be, that's the first thing you'll table and not get back to it. If you don't make it a priority. You have to make it a priority.
Yeah.
And if you want to write a book, write a book. Don't sit there and say, I want to write a book and never write it. Is it? You will regret it. You will regret it.
Write the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to be one of my things that I've definitely got to work on.
Well, in a year from now, we should be talking about you releasing your book.
Yes, ma'am. That was the goal.
Our second.
That's it. What's the
We're record? Saying one right now. You never know. She may hit a writing streak, and she may be on her second one.
Well, I'm glad Kim called me out on that, because I have, like, probably most other people right now have a lot of trouble focusing on something for me. And this is for me.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do the typical mom thing, business owner thing, person thing, whatever, that I'm like, no, I need to do this for my daughter. I need to do this little laundry, or I need to do that. And that's like everything with self-care. And the reason I decided to do this was a big part of something for my self-care that I felt like I've always wanted to do and I needed to do. And I need to prioritize that better.
Yes, definitely. Because it's therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
You have something you want to do. You want to accomplish a goal. You want to, this is where I make you feel bad. You want to help people. So here's my thing. You want to help people. So whether you're writing a fiction book to entertain, or you're writing a nonfiction book to help, or you're telling a story, sharing trauma, showing people how to cook, whatever it is, you don't write that book, you're denying people your gift. That's and we true. All have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the ability. There's no one can say you can't write a book. There's no such thing as that in my book. And you have something, everyone has something to share. And everyone has a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And you're denying people that gift, because if you can help one person, then it matters. It doesn't matter if you sell 10 million books, you help one person, it matters.
And that's what, when Kim coaches me and tells me that, it does make me more passionate and want to get focused, because that is the idea of my book. That's the other thing Kim says. The day you come up with the idea is the day you start promoting yourself.
Yes, yes.
So my book is going to be a story about my life, but not the traditional memoir, but more like some self-help mixed in it.
Yes.
And so I did write a little piece of it. Hopefully it'll be out
on the new year because Kim is going to stay on me.
Yes, exactly.
Did you have anything else you would like listeners to know?
If they're interested, can I say this?
Yeah.
If they're interested in finding me, you can email me at hello@bestsellerbound.com or check out my website at bestsellerbound.com. And definitely if you want to get the course or discount on group coaching, you need to do that now versus later.
Do it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And I do free consultations. So if you're considering a book, reach out to me. We can talk.
Well, by this time, everybody's got their first quarantine project under their belt and it's time for them to go ahead and get,
Yeah. And it's all
virtual. You became a yoga teacher or whatever you all did this first 6 months. Now go out and become writers.
Yeah. And it's all virtual. So you don't have to leave. You don't have to leave your house to write. You don't have to leave your house to be coached.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave your house to take the course, group coach, any of it.
Yeah.
All virtual. So COVID or no COVID, you're good.
I bet there's about to be so many new quarantine books coming out.
Well, you said online sales have gone up, right?
Yeah. So when COVID hit, print books took a beating. I know this because from the standpoint was it was taking forever to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do a print book through Amazon and they were social distancing. Also medical supplies and necessities were number one priority for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that's still up there,
right.
Especially since COVID's we're having more higher numbers again. So you had to use ebook. And so ebooks did well because it's automatically downloaded.
Right.
You can read it on your phone, your tablet, your computer, your reader, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was easy, accessible. There was no delay.
Mm-hmm.
Sad part is a lot of authors have struggled writing this year because of COVID, but I anticipate that all changing next year. And I think you'll see a lot of personal and professional development books come out.
And my point being is that I bet you are going to see a record number of submissions.
Yes.
Book submissions right now.
Oh,
from everybody being
yes.
At home, writing their,
definitely.
having a coach,
yes.
Writing their book right now.
Yeah.
I bet, I really do. I bet when you look back, this year will be the year that more books ever were submitted.
I think that will continue, especially into next year. I definitely think next year is going to be the year for books. I really, really do. I don't have any data yet to back it up because getting data right now is terrible. It's just so limited. I really anticipate that next year. You'll really see some big numbers in books.
Awesome. I'm excited.
This is great.
And
this is awesome. Yay.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for having me. Don't forget to check out Bestseller Bound. Don't forget to follow us and subscribe. And if you have time, please write a review.
Yes.
And all of our little advocates out there, legislative session, they started pre-filing bills this week, so go look up those bills.
Awesome. Thanks again, Kim. Thanks, listeners. Take care.